Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. We appreciate you joining us. As always, I am your man, Mitts, and with me, the incomparable Twigs. My dude, how are you doing?
I'm great. I just want to start off the show. I've gotten a little bit of heat. A little bit of feedback. I can say ethnicity. I can say it. Okay? I had a little stumble. I sometimes get a little stutter, especially when I'm talking. It's not just the hand movement, it's the stutter, everything, you know? I can say the word. I just said it for you, ethnicity. I can say it. I just have to clear that up for everybody that's writing me private message and saying, ooh, that looks rough, or that's like awful. Because I was under the impression last episode was going to be edited. And I wouldn't have to be fighting off these people. But I'm doing well. I just needed to clear that up to See, I just did it again. I stutter. Sometimes I trip on my tongue. I say the darndest things, but I can say it. And I'm doing really well. I just had to clear that up.
Clearly. Well, for all of you out there, as I explained to Tyler, our podcast is a raw podcast. So we have warts. We are human.
Oh, yeah.
I mean warts figuratively. we're human beings. We make mistakes. We're not looking to polish this and make it seem perfect. So that right there.
I'm a polished person. See, I can barely say person right there. I'm just saying. That's who I am.
I can only assume all of you out there that if you're either still with us or just joining us, you're already picked up on the fact that it's a process. We're working on things. We're getting there. Who knows where it is, but one day at a time, right?
Right.
I don't know.
Let's actually start off by saying that I think we were just talking about this, that this will be our last episode for a couple of weeks until the season starts going. So it's going to be as fiery as it gets for end of the season for us. And then we'll be looking to start season two, or so-called season two, because season two of the NHL, I think we'd like done season two already, but this is real season two. But again, raw.
Yeah, if there were ever any doubts about whether we script or rehearse or do second takes, I think we've cleared that. As Tyler mentioned, we are going to take a little break, announced break. We've taken a few unannounced breaks this summer, but that's what summer is. Take a little break, give ourselves a chance to kind of refocus, get ready for the upcoming season. Hopefully by then there will be enough to talk about, interesting things going on, and give us some chance to settle into it for the exciting second full season of the Mitts and Twigs podcast.
All right.
Boom. All right. Well, with that big announcement out of the way, let's dive right into it. And I don't know. I'd like to get some fire out of you, my dude. I want to start off with some heat. So news came out this week that Matthew Tkachuk, formerly of your Calgary Flames, now of the Panthers of Florida. A big part of his leaving had been let's call it an ultimatum. I don't think those were the words, but an ultimatum that he wanted to wear the C. He felt he was ready for the C, and that was a big reason for the trade demand request.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like maybe I don't want to say he earned it, because if they weren't going to give it to him, then you got to assume that for whatever reason, the people that the powers be didn't feel that he earned it. How do you feel to think if that was the reason that Matthew Tkachuk left, if they'd given him the C, he could have still been a Calgary Flame. They probably still could have brought in Nazem Kadri. Maybe they could have snuck out a Uyghur in there too. But and how's that hitting you?
You instantly go to like, oh man, like that would be sweet. Like Matthew Tkachuk, by far, other than Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk is my favorite Flame. You don't get to watch many players like Matthew Tkachuk. Not talking about how slow of a skater is, but just everything that he brings to the table. I'd say he's like a Marchand. I think Marchand's better at what he does than Matthew Tkachuk. In the playoffs, kind of got away from him. He was trying to be a little too physical instead of just focusing on his game. I don't buy it. Like, I just don't buy it. Adam Rzeczka on Marian Gabrick's podcast was spouting off this information. I just don't think a healthy scratch was probably that close to management. He still doesn't even have a deal signed. He played, what, just 30-something game? I just don't think he had that knowledge to be saying that. And I can't imagine the Flames brass being stoked about him saying this stuff. Matthew Tkachuk was hands down the easiest pick for captain. Easiest pick. And if it wasn't going to happen, then you have to believe Daryl Sutter had a reason why that wasn't the choice, right? That's the only thing that makes sense to me. But no, I don't think it comes down to captaincy at all. I think if Matthew Tkachuk, and I'm pretty sure this is pretty fair, it's pretty fair opinion to say, if Matthew Tkachuk was going to stay long-term 8 years, the captain would be on that jersey when he re-signed this summer. Easily. Brad Treliving really wanted him here. I really just think it came down, he wanted to play in the States. And I think he wanted to play in a place that was close to home. His family's building down in Florida. No state tax. It's freaking great down there, right? Sunshine all the time. I'm sure Huberto sold him his Lamborghini. You know, they did a trade there too. I don't know. I put zero stock into it. But I will say what's fascinating, and this is really interesting. I've read a couple tweets on, there's been multiple actually on Flames Twitter about how the team wasn't like happy. I mean, was happy Johnny left and they're bad for the room. I don't get that with Johnny Gaudreau, but I do pick that up with Matthew Tkachuk with the things the players have said. You never saw Matthew Tkachuk in any like team bonding photos. Jacob Markstrom didn't really seem to care that he was gone, but he did make an effort to call Johnny Gaudreau every day, like for like those couple weeks, right? Before he chose Columbus. And there's been that down the road. Like, I mean, all off seasons you've heard that where, yeah, they wanted Johnny to stay. He was a big part. I really think a lot of players were surprised by that. I know Mangiapane said earlier in the summer, right after Johnny left, that they saw it in the room and all that kind of stuff. I just don't buy that either. I think that's him basically, you know, trying to cover it up, maybe help out his friend a little bit. But yeah, I do think Matthew Tkachuk split that Flames room. I really do. And maybe, do you want to give a seat to that player? I don't know, but he does everything on the ice, so it just makes sense. What was your take on it?
Maybe a bit of a Bo Callahan draft day.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? I know. I thought that that's, quite frankly, that's just kind of like garbage trash news. You know, like at this point, like it's all done and this is just gossip. You know, if Matthew Tkachuk came out and did a one-on-one interview and said that he'd had this conversation and he said, I'll sign long-term for X number, price, whatnot, but you got to give me the C, then I'd be like, wow, that's an interesting bit of news.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we're well past this. You know, if this is the type of thing that if it had been leaked during like negotiations or during the season, I think there would have been more interesting conversation to have. But at this point, it's done. We've all moved on. So much time has passed that, that feels very much like you said, somebody who is just looking for an opportunity to put the spotlight on them by dropping this hot goss and being this inside source. And it's kind of blame, quite frankly. So
yeah, I thought it was a bold move by him, especially he's trying to fight for a spot and he's spreading, you know, things get translated pretty easily, even though you're in Czech or whatever, right? Like, I don't know. I will say this though about Matthew Tkachuk is I watched his Skip the Dishes. No, what is it? Is it Skip, not Skip the Dishes? What's the HelloFresh? That's what it is, where they send you a box.
Yeah.
All the ingredients. The man can't cook. That man's never cooked a meal in his life.
Oh, like, of course not. He's a hockey player.
He got that box. He's trying to do that ad. I'm like, this is a nightmare. I'm like, this is painful. He looks like he's hating it. Those pork chops were as dry as could be. There's no way he ate it. He made it and then called Skip, or he went out and he spent some dollars because that was hot garbage. You also, why are you doing a HelloFresh ad? You just made $9.5 million and it was like all signing bonus. Like, holy frick, man.
Hey, man, easy money is easy money.
I guess.
You know? Yeah. No one's above picking up that extra weekend shift just to get a little playtime money, you know?
That's true. 9.5, you got a lot of playtime money.
Well, if Chris Pronger is to be believed, most of that is just gone already. we don't have to go down that rabbit hole. I thought that was an interesting.
Let's just touch on this. Did you see Andrew Ference? And I think he wrote on like Chris Pronger saying he goes, no, it's still a lot of money. Something like that. It was awesome. It was amazing. Andrew Ference is in no regards to like one of the top high end like echelons of NHL earnings, right? Like there's no way, but yeah. It was nice to see an actual player like clap back and be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be playing poor me to like all these people that like lost businesses the last 2 years and everything like that. You have to pay escrow. Yeah. That's your fault for signing that bad deal. Anyways.
Yeah, no, I think that was pretty funny. I thought I was genuinely interested to hear and like to see it all broken down because I just thought that was a really interesting take. But yeah, it's difficult to like that really probably should have just been like a spreadsheet presentation. You know, that's not a, you know, it's like, yeah, oh, so that 8 million is only really 2 million. Geez, that must be tough. Wow. How do you survive on that with your multiple homes, Mr. Pronger? Yeah. That's pretty funny. Well, moving away from Flames news.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay.
JT Miller. They signed him to a long-term extension. I think that the only real way to interpret this is the Canucks agreeing that they have enough to contend now. Maybe not to win it all. Maybe not this year, but in the next couple of years. They're seeing this as a window. You know, you don't sign a player like this to this kind of deal at this point in his career to this contract. So what I'm looking at this, was it 7 year, 56, averaging 8 over the time. And I don't know. I think that I like it. I live in Vancouver. I think it's great because if you look at last year, and if for all of you that maybe got tired of hearing me talk about this leading up into the playoffs, I apologize. It's coming right back. Once Brucey B took over, they were arguably the hottest team in the NHL. They almost had their like 2019 Blues moment of going from the bottom to the top. But I mean, there's no 2019 Blues, but the 2019 Blues. I digress. It was enough there that there's reason to believe that, hey, if we bring this back and, you know, the young players have a chance to step up and people have another year in the system, still have a top 10 goaltender in the league in Tyson and Demko. Tyson, Thatcher Demko. Wow. You still got some talent on D and presumably some that's going to be taking the next step in Quinn Hughes. And maybe not the top six, top nine depth to contend with, say, like a Calgary, a St. Louis, a Colorado, but not. That, not, you know, that's definitely not too far down in that tier list. And so, yeah, I mean, I think people get all bent out of shape about how old he is, how old he will be, the money. I think those people are crazy. They need to lighten up. They need to get over it. It's not like they just have to understand that 8 years is a long time, or 7 years from now, 8 years from now, I guess, is. There's no reason to worry about that. This is a win now sport. And if you think you've got a chance, you go for it. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yeah. The JT Miller thing, I was ready. Like I saw it. I thought I was going to hop on Twitter and everybody be pumped for, you know, all the Canucks fans I follow and all that kind of stuff. There's not many, but the few I do. And then, JT's trending and you start looking, man, Canucks, like, does anything please you? Like, you just locked up a guy who put up 100 points. He has the most assists by a Canuck in Canucks history, not named as Sedin. Think about that. Like, cool. He's 30. Awesome. He's still got 4 or 5 years of solid hockey. Is he going to have as great a year as he had this year? No, probably not. But he's also took a pay cut. $8 million is not that much for that guy. And my problem is with cap and all this stuff, it's not the stars that are the problem. It's the, like the Milan Lucic that are making five.
Yeah.
And I get it. Oh, he got older and this could be a JT Miller thing too. No, his game would never translate. Like Kyle Capozzo, they would not translate with age. A power forward do not, you know, they just don't last as long. Mm-hmm. I didn't like, I was pumped. I thought it was an awesome deal. I do want to read Rutherford's quick little quote here because I thought it was interesting. And it's basically what you are. And you, just to reiterate what you said, is their window's wide open. And if you don't think the Pacific is going to be fun this year, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Vegas, and LA all got better. They all got better. Maybe not Vegas. Vegas got worse. But the other four definitely got better. But with Jim Rutherford, what he said on the, after signing the deal, is you have to take some risk for what JT has done, what he's capable of doing. We just felt it was worth it. He's a good player. He wants to be here. He'll figure out ways to contribute in the later stages of that contract. This is what like irritates me. I just watched two star players leave the franchise I cheer for, I root for, ask to be out. Now you have a player that is like their best, their MVP this past season, choose to stay in Vancouver. Like choose to stay. He's like, I want all the pressure. I want all of that. Give me the big payday. Let's do it. Lock it in. And I'll take a little bit of a pay cut.
Yeah.
Why would you not want this guy? Now I get it. Like a lot of his points this year were secondary assists and they were power play points. Who cares? You need players to like translate on the power play. You need them to put the puck in while, when they're out there. That's why they play power play. You know what I mean? Is his defense great? No, he's a terrible back checker. He's terrible. Like, not great at all. But give me JT Miller for eight, and I'll worry about the later. Like he said, Rutherford said, I'll worry about the later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what a lot of people don't take into account is, A, 4 years from now, things like the cap could be very, very different situation. Teams may be willing to take on a guy like this, if he's still playing decent hockey as like a reliable third line center, if Canucks with like hold on to some of that. So that stuff always works itself out a little bit. And you know, another thing to consider is that like you said, you got to pay these guys. You got to pay these top players. If he's your best player, you got to pay him. Anybody else, there's a lot of other teams that were really eager for the opportunity to sign him if they could have signed him to this contract, and if not more. I don't know. I think.
Let me ask you this. Everybody's like, oh, this is the time to trade JT Miller. What did Alex DeBrincat go for? Younger, RFA controlled, all that. What was it? A first and a couple seconds?
Yeah.
You'd rather that than go for your win now mode.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what a little bit of that mentality is too, is that I think for a lot of fans in their mind, they were already counting the money they were going to get for selling JT Miller.
Yeah.
They were already thinking about, okay, well, then we can do this and we can draft this. They'd already mapped out that. They'd already come to terms with it. And so him staying now kind of throws that up, like, you know, tips the cart on that whole mindset. So, you know, it's if you don't have that, if you're not dialed into what your team is doing, if you don't believe that if you'd already believe that, okay, they're going to trade him off, and maybe we're going to, you know, push the window back 4 or 5 years. It's like, well, that's a tough pill to swallow for people to go back to thinking that this team has a chance right now when you've already decided that they don't and that they should load up for some promised land in the future.
Let's just read off some of these stats here. I already read the assist one. He's the second, or he's the most assist by somebody not named a Sedin. Second highest points per game in franchise history. Second highest in franchise history. He has the second most points, 4 point games, 4 point games in franchise history. He just put up 100 points this season. He was 14th in power play points per 60 minutes. He was 11th in secondary assists per 60. Now his primary assists and goals in 5-on-5, not great, but we won't worry about those right now. This is a guy you want. Like,
yeah,
it was JT Miller and nobody else until Elias Pettersson started rolling under Brucey B. Bo Horvat had a good year too, but still, like, it was JT Miller and then everybody else. I don't know. I go for it. You only have these windows so often and you don't know what can happen. So,
yeah. And I think a lot of people don't need to like really look at, we talked about this, I think on our last episode, last couple episodes, we're talking about center depth. that like the St. Louis has, the center depth that you guys have now in Calgary, like JT Miller, Bo Horvat, Elias Pettersson. That's what it's going to take to get out of the Pacific, out of the West, potentially. And if you have that there, don't give up on that. Like you can't just fall into that. Like and yeah, as I said,
that's top five in the West, easily top five in the West.
Yeah,
and you can have Pettersson plays wing too, and Miller plays wing. Like the options you have with those guys is. I don't know. And a full year under Brucey B, like you said, I don't want Vancouver to succeed. I hope they never win a Stanley Cup. I hate them. But I also want to see, like, you know, a team go for it than just staying like stuck in a rebuild like Buffalo over and over and over again in Arizona. Right. So,
yeah.
Good on Rutherford, man. And the trade market must not have been what they thought it would have been, or else he would have been shipped out. Like, it's just what it is.
I think that's the reality of it too, is that I think we all get excited about the potential of the trade market, and, you know, sports media plays a hand in that, hyping things up, putting out these leaked reports, you know, like the possible trades for Matthew Tkachuk at different times, that, you know, I think we have to remember that sports media in particular is basically, it's not exactly pure journalism. It exists. Sports journalism exists to promote the product. Right. You know, it's all basically sponsored advertising. So that's what we've got to remember, is that we can love the sport, and we can, you know, there's a lot of journalists out there, you know, like Keith Strang, Rick Westhead, that are real journalists, and there's a lot of really interesting and wonderful personalities out there that don't deserve any disrespect. But the industry of sports journalism is largely basically one paid advertisement. So I think we need to kind of keep that in mind when we get all excited about all these rumors and these things that are being recycled in terms of what could happen or that never comes to fruition.
Yeah. And I think when you look at trades, other than the Jonathan Huberdeau, again, in cap era, that's been like touted as like the biggest trade in cap era, right?
Yeah.
Those don't happen. Like those trades just don't happen. I get it. You just watched it in Calgary, and Canucks fans are like, now, like, oh my gosh, client, you know, what are we going to get for JT Miller? This is going to be me. You would be underwhelmed. I remember when the Canucks traded for JT Miller at the draft, and it was like a first round pick or something. They hated it then too. You know what I mean? So you just can never win in the trade market. You don't usually get something like the Huberdeau Tkachuk trade where both teams are extremely happy. Right. So, and the fan bases.
Yeah. And you got to look at some of the teams that are most notable in these last few years of making those big splashes, like a Vegas, are now facing the repercussions of living the life fast and loose. So, yeah, maybe at a certain point in time, there might have been something to be done there. And maybe there was a deal that was out there that wasn't bad, or several possibilities. Oh, yeah. But at the end of the day, when you can look at what they had and say, do we want to gamble that we can get something better, or do we want to try to double down on this? I don't blame them, because if this doesn't work, you can still go to that fallback plan relatively simply.
You know what pisses me off about trading stars? This is what it is. Even the DeBrincat trade doesn't make sense. Well, like, I guess it doesn't really make sense to me, in the sense that you've now traded a guy that like will pot you 40. He'll pot you 40 every year, or every other year he'll pot you 40. And now you've traded this player to then try to draft this player later down the road. Yeah. This exact player that you've now developed into a star. It was the same argument with Johnny Gaudreau. Oh, we should trade Johnny Gaudreau. No, why? We're going to trade Johnny Gaudreau to try to get another Johnny Gaudreau. Right? Like, makes no sense to me. I get it when there's like situations like the Matthew Tkachuk where they want out and all that. Okay, trade him. But just to trade a star to like try to then get, just for draft picks, then to try to like get that exact player. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to me, especially when they're young.
We'll drop. I'll throw up a stat on a sheet that I came across a couple weeks ago, if I haven't already, on Twitter later this week to talk about that. Like, it's not a science. It's generally very lucky to draft anybody, even with like a top 15 first round pick. Yeah. There's a very slim chance of those guys ever being what is qualified as a superstar. There's a decent chance that a first round pick will have an NHL career, but like you're talking about a guy that may be a 7-year third line center or somebody that just really grinds it out as being a great, you know, seventh, sixth defenseman who always sticks around. But like these superstars, to find the situation that benefits them and suits them and the coaching staff and the people that believe in them, surrounding them with the right things, having their lives outside of hockey move in the right way. There's so many variables you can't predict. It's foolish to try to, as you said, trade Johnny Gaudreau so that you could try to draft another Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, or trade that player then try to fill a weaker hole, but then now that hole's and just like what you said to piggyback off that is two trades in the past 10 years here. Dougie Hamilton from Boston to Calgary, all picks. It was like a first, couple seconds, and something else. Has not worked out at all. And then almost the exact trade for Erik Karlsson and has panned out because they nailed it on the draft picks. It was like Josh Norris. Who else was it? Tim Stutzel and then a couple other players. That all worked out, but there was no science to that. Nobody thought San Jose was going to suck, right, when they got Erik Karlsson. It's just there's, again, like you said, you don't know what you're getting. Now, are there odds? Yes, there's odds, but it doesn't mean you're going to hit on all your odds. It's basically gambling with your franchise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'd rather keep the stars and try to figure out every way I can build around them before shipping them out. And that's why Vancouver's a bunch of babies.
I thought for sure I was going to have to pull in the Huberto and Kadri contracts as comparisons to convince you of the wonders of the JT Miller contract. But I'm happy to hear that your reason.
Calgary just got heartbroken by two players, and then they're like, the fans are up, like, hey, let's throw the parade right now. We have two older players that just stuck with us, like just signed long-term deals. And Vancouver's like, I freaking hate this. Screw this guy, screw this guy. They're all like PTSD from like Louis Erickson, and I get it, but still.
Yeah, that was a rough time.
That was a rough time, but who would have thought that would have happened?
you mentioned gambling with your franchise. Someone that I say is gambling with their franchise, and I don't like it, but so far it's sort of working out, is the Dallas Stars. I'm not going to mention the owner's name. I mean, one, because I don't just think he deserves it. And two, I can't remember his name. But I'm going to cut that part out. So it's just going to be me saying he doesn't deserve it. Boom. Final edit, cut. Control.
That's too much power.
Jake Oettinger. They got him at 3 years, $4 million for a guy that almost stole the first round single-handedly against the Calgary Flames. One of the most wonderful and inspiring performances by a goaltender in a playoff that didn't get out of the first round in a long time. And you also even just look at, like, we had the conversation in our group chat this weekend about it. But the guy is young. He's 23, and he doesn't have a long resume. But what he does have is being at such a young age, the previous season stepping up and doing well, last season helping carry the team in getting into the final spot, and then playing just lights out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
$4 million for a goaltender of that caliber for the next 3 years, and having him at RFA still after that. Mind blowing. Great price, great deal.
Crazy tidy business by Jim Neal. Just crazy. 30-15. He's a starting goaltender. Again, I remember sitting at game 7 up in the nosebleeds at the old dome. And Dallas scored first. And I'm sitting there, I looked at my brother, I go, it's over. I'm like, there's no way we're going to score on Jake Oettinger. And it was, I think they threw like 60 or 70 or some shots at this kid. And it was still went to overtime. It still took like a perfect shot to beat him. He's unbelievable. It was the greatest goalie performance I've ever seen. Is he a top 10 NHL goalie? Yeah, I think he is a top 10 NHL goalie. Is he a top 5? No, not yet. No, I don't think so. I know, like you said, you just referenced it, that we had a good chat in the Well, you kind of just left and came, you know, you're like, oh, hello. Nope, I'm out of here. But
yeah,
the Jake Ottinger slander by a couple of the guys in the chat was crazy. This guy is the future. He's going to be amazing. Yeah, is the resume long? No, but everybody that starts out, their resumes aren't long. And
of course,
and I know their arguments, like, what's he won? Well, the NHL had Jacob Markstrom ranked, what, third? What's he won? Nothing. Like, this was like his second time in the playoffs. Like, really, it's like these guys have to get there to show what they can do. And Jake Ottinger got there, and he showed that he can steal a series on his own. That team is not that great built up. And that owner, like you just said, bro, shut up. Like, shut up. You blasted Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn. Blasted him. I remember that. And now you're blasting Jason Robertson, who you're like trying to convince to stay there long term.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have all the control right now, but I just literally watched with Matthew Tkachuk. It can turn quick, and then you're like left with nothing.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Like, I can't believe he hasn't been, again, at this point, I feel like the offer sheet that you could put in to cause Dallas a headache and possibly steal Robertson away would not be so crippling in terms of your draft pick price. That it, you know, it's not worth it. I don't understand. I mean, I think I understand because it's a boys club and that's how it's run at the top, and you know,
yeah,
it's gross. But if this was really treated like competing businesses, he would have been offer sheeted months ago.
Oh, because Ottinger would have been offer sheeted.
Yeah, and it's silly that no one's forced his hand strictly on this whole, like, they're all buddies behind the scenes. Like, it's that part is really kind of gross and annoying. But yeah, like, the owner, like I said, he railed on his arguably top two players at the time, saying they weren't stepping up. And at the time, you know, it was like, well, to be fair, I guess they kind of weren't. And so it was easy to dismiss that as like, oh, maybe he's just motivated and we don't know the relationship.
I think Jamie Benn just recently won like the Art Ross or something. It's crapping on. I'm like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my timeline's off a couple of years, but it was relatively soon. Like, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin were still in their prime.
Well, I don't think it's. I think his comments were within the last year and a half, 2 years.
I think it was before COVID.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, now the fact that, like, now he's come out and he's railing against his like budding superstar goaltender, his budding superstar forward, and just complaining that young players are unproven and they want money. What are you talking about? You're the one that's paying Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin almost $20 million a year combined. You're the one signing the checks. You've right. got no one to blame for any of this except for you and your golf buddies just sit around and make stupid business decisions with this money. If you don't like what they're being paid, there's no reason to rail against them. You just say, no, this is it. This is what you're being offered. And handle your business in a professional manner instead of handling it like a high school bully.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's toxic. If the NHL league as a whole had any integrity, then there would be some kind of reprimand in there. In the same way, if the league union had any integrity, they would protect the mass of players against the few that are taking dangerous hits instead of always pushing back and defending the suspensions of guys that are... It's... Sorry, guys. I'm all riled up because just sick. I'm just really sick of this gross, terrible leadership at the top of hockey. A beautiful game that we all love, and it's just being run by a bunch of dickwads.
Yeah. No, I agree. And just to say this, you're crapping on Tyler Seguin, who just his body, just like Sean Monahan, just went through some hip surgeries. You didn't sign Tyler Seguin to this deal when he was like playing at this level. No, he just came off a huge surgery and it's first year back. Give him some time. When you signed him to this deal, he was potting you 30, 35. He was your best player. He was a top player in the NHL. Mm-hmm. That's why you paid him this money. Jamie Benn won an Art Ross. You might not like the Jamie Benn contract. He was still a force in that seven game series. He was still one of your better players.
Yep.
He still was. And you, this is like, and you're going to see with every single fan base when the contract goes south, right? When it starts, the player gets older and he's not producing to that $9 million. You just never usually hear from the owners. That's like, you just publicly, but this guy loves to go on radio and just blast. And just to go against what he's saying is, I remember Brian Burke in Calgary, and he was very honest. He's like, you can't win a Stanley Cup with your middle players taking up majority of your cap. Basically what he was saying was like, no, these guys that are barely like scoring for me, they need to make five. This guy needs to make five. Well, now your cap's all clogged up to this, which they're not really contributing or moving that needle. So the guys you should be paying are the Tyler Sagans, are the Jamie Benns, are the Jason Robertsons, are the Jake Odgers. Because all those players, when healthy, are your game changers. Mm-hmm. They just are. I love, like, who's on their team? I love Mason Marchman. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
Do I think he's going to make that big of a difference if he's on or off the team next year? No. No, he's just not. Sorry, Mason Marchman.
Sorry, not sorry.
Not sorry.
He's no Joel Pavelski. Joel, God.
Yeah, that's two now. I do love Joe Pavelski, man. That, and they stole him this year. $5 million for that guy.
Yeah.
He is ancient, though.
He's 38 years old.
He's good. Okay. He's
a young man in my eyes.
True. That is true. It's weird.
Oh, man. All right. I don't want to make the segue that I was about to make because I want to focus on the positive, at least as the headline kicker. Canadian women's team wins again.
Yeah.
So golf clap. That's amazing. So wonderful. In what is arguably the best rivalry in sports over their American rivals. So this is the Olympic gold. I think this is the under 18. I think we took home this year in the women's, and now the IIHF tournament. Just phenomenal. Their excellence needs to be getting, it needs more recognition, because it's one thing to kind of look at or to try to paint the picture that the women's game isn't as developed over the world, and it is growing. It is still growing stage in much of the world, but the hockey played by the Canadian women's team and the United States women's team is high level, high impact, fast, exciting hockey. And man, they're doing it. The women are no joke, and they need to get that credit. They need to get that recognition. Hats off to them. That's fucking awesome. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's freaking awesome.
I love it. You can say it. But I will say, and this is going to sound awful, I'm not trying to go down this road because I don't want to talk about them at all. I watched one World Juniors Canada game. I watched zero Women's Hockey Canada game. I'm not supporting at all. You saw the city of Edmonton in the world not support them at all in Edmonton for the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. I am super proud and you know, I'm happy for the girls and the women on that team. I'm happy for the young men on the world. I just want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it. I don't want to watch any other product. I don't want to watch anything. And it sucks because that doesn't hurt Hockey Canada that much, but it hurts the players. But I'm just done. Like they just, and even for the person that like handed out the freaking trophy, it's bullshit. It's utter bullcrap that we're this far, this many months into it, and nothing's changed.
The unmitigated gall it takes for both the population of Canada as a large whole and the government of Canada,
yeah,
both of the bodies that pay your salary, to just roundly everyone saying, you need to step down,
yeah,
and all of you in positions of power need to be gone. to say, no, I don't feel like it. Yeah. Have the board say, no, he's fine. And to go out and hand out those trophies. Anybody, in my opinion, anybody with any sense and any dignity and any integrity in that role, if they genuinely thought that, yes, I acknowledge that what has been done in the past is awful and it needs to change, and I want to be a part of that, and I believe I can, would be spending their time putting in that work and showing it and making that change instead of going out there to be on the cameras and glad hand and try to put themselves over.
Yeah.
Like, that is some Gary Bettman level bull that you've just so egotistical and so like, I think I'm untouchable, that you're going to go out there and do that. You have so little disregard, and you have to understand that completely robs the gold medal winning team of their headline. Like, we made it 5 minutes in and we have to talk about it, when it would have been so much simpler if you had any integrity or respect for the game or respect for other people or the people that love the sport. Scott Smith, speaking to you directly, if you had any self-awareness, any respect, and you were anything less than the asshole you truly are, you wouldn't have injected yourself in there. Any number of people could have been out there. Any number of faceless, anonymous people could have been out there. It's within your power to not make it all about you. And to do that, I don't know what to say. Like, Hockey Canada needs to be just completely cleaned. If the board is supporting him, then they need to go as well. And whatever measures need to be taken to clean out that entire organization of anybody that had anything to do with creating the environment of the last 30, 40, 50, however many years, creating secret slush funds to pay off. You're done. You're done. We've had enough. It's over. Get going.
I think you said it perfectly. I'm pretty sure that we're both on, I'm 100%. I know we're on the same page. I just told you that I don't support them. I'm not going to watch their product, even if there was a World Cup, even if there's a whatever in 2020. Like, changes have to be happening. When you have the prime minister who's now like come out multiple times and say what you like about Justin Trudeau, if you don't like him, you don't like him, whatever. But you've now got all your country, like majority of your country. I don't think there's anybody in the country that's like, no, Hockey Canada, they're doing a splendid job. So nobody's saying that. You have your leader of your country calling you out. You have the women's hockey team calling you out, and you basically flipped them off by giving them the trophy after they asked for changes, because you would rather hide behind the slush fund, even though there's like been like this report where you paid for this like one guy four separate occasions. I don't know. I'm just done. Like,
yeah,
I love hockey, and I know we've had these episodes, and it just, we probably, like, whoever listens to this, they're probably like, man, these guys, like, yeah, no, we're done. It's just, we're sick of it. We're sick of like the sport we choose to, like, you know, I've already bought tickets for and all that stuff. Support, have these like dickheads that like are okay with people taking advantage of women, or people that are okay, like just paying, or like even the one where they're like, he got paralyzed from Hockey Canada. Now they're using that slush fund to fight him. You know what I mean? So like the whole thing is just disgusting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man, it's frustrating. And no, I congratulate all the women, all of them. I think it's awesome. They're kick-ass. They're amazing hockey players. I enjoy watching that more in the Olympics than the men game. I think it's more competitive. It just is. Yeah. So congratulations, hats off. Amazing job. F you, Canada, Hockey Canada. You suck. You keep messing up. Break that ego down a little bit. Maybe that's what, like, take a step back, look at yourselves. That's what we're asking.
They don't have the, like, we've gone to them and we've said, hey, you're all too insulated in your own bubble.
Yeah.
And you need to open up to the rest of the world and take in some fresh opinions. And they turn and they say, well, no, everybody at my table says that we're fine. It's like, that's exactly what we're telling you, is that there's no one in there with an ounce of self-perspective or introspection that is in touch with today's values and culture and where we're trying to get to, which is an area where or a culture where we don't just sweep abuse and assault allegations under the rug.
No.
To try to win a title champion. Like, no, no, no. Guys want to play through a sprained foot, a broken finger. You know, if athletes want to go and train 16 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, those are sacrifices that I think are in the realm of personal interest, personal choices. That's fine. I'm not going to it, but I'm not in that position. This culture of silence and this culture of just allowing people to be used and taken advantage of and destroyed. Now we're done. It's not happening. It's not, we cannot allow it for one day more.
No. And for all the people that have, you know, we've said, I think the last like 6 podcasts, we bring up Hockey Canada. We're like, we'll get to another time. We just got to it. That point when the women win and that dickhead still came out. Yeah, that was it. That was the moment. You're like, how can they get any worse? Oh,
yeah.
Hold on. They did. But
yeah,
not to end like a really fun podcast on a bad note, but we did. And it's mostly not that we're sick of it. Just sick of the sport. Like the last 2 years, the amount of like crazy cover-up stuff and all these snakes in the grass and all that stuff, and they're just helping their buddies and just to keep like money coming and all that kind of stuff, and there's no repercussions at all. It's just kind of
it's gross.
It's gross.
We don't want it anymore.
No, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, for anybody anybody out there, that's basically a wrap on our first full season. Ty, can we believe we've done this for a year?
No, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. But no, I did not think we'd get past. And I said this before, like I was like, oh yeah, we'll see how this goes. It's more of like, you know, I enjoy it. Yeah. The people listening that do listen to, I know we have some like pretty loyal listeners, and then some weeks we get higher, some weeks we don't. But I appreciate it. It's been a blast. Thanks for listening to my awful grammar and my hot takes and all that stuff. And it's been a blast year one.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Can't imagine doing it with anyone else but yourself, my dude. It's been surreal. And, you know, I don't want to go full Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible, you know, but really when it comes down to it, this is a medium that I'd been interested in for a while. This whole idea seemed impossible until we just started slapping it together. And
we're still slapping.
There's by no means is the finish line. But it is, we've been making this podcast for a year now, which is amazing to say. And thank you for everybody that's been with us at any point.
Yeah.
Don't judge if you had to take a break anywhere in between. We're going to take a little break here for about 2 weeks or so. We're going to come back when the players are back and things are happening. Something you can look forward to in season 2 is just more. We're going to have more hot takes. We're going to have more bad takes. We are going to have more things that I should have edited out. And more things that
ethnicity. There you go.
just more of us. If that sounds wonderful and appealing, I guess we'll see you again soon. And if it doesn't, well, I can't imagine why you'd be here in the first place. So
you made it this far.
You might as well stick around. Well, yeah, let's put a bow on it with that. Our famous outros one last time. Thank you all so much. For my man Ty, for myself, have a nice day, have a wonderful week, be kind to one another, and we'll see you back here for season 2 of the Mitts and Twigs podcast.